Our next wonderful speaker is coming up, Mr. Dwayne Kerr. He's going to share God's word, so please welcome him.
Strengthened by the Lord. To Psalm 27, we'll start reading in verse 14. Before we start that, I just wanted to say basically what I want to share with you is so much of today's thinking, when I say thinking, I'm talking about individually and as a society at large. So much of today's thinking is about self-determination, self-reliance, self-dependence. Everything is about you. What can you do? You know, how can you make it better, right? You are the reason for failure or success. You know, it comes down to you, right? And we hear these messages every day, all day long, you know, in one form or another. You know, that's the message. It's about you. You make it happen. It starts with you. I think I'm saying some of the things I've heard, right? But that's not what we believe. And that's not what's supposed to be our focus as believers, right? We're supposed to look to God. It's not about us, and it's not about our strength. It's about God's promises and what he says that he will do, right? And we have to, as Rich explained, wait on the Lord, be encouraged, and then he will strengthen us. So let's take a look here in Psalm 27, in verse 14. Wait on Yahweh, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on Yahweh. As Rich pointed out, waiting is not, it's not a passive thing, right? It's something that's active. It's something that we do, and we go according to God's word and determining how we seek the Lord. And as we're doing that, God is going to strengthen us. That's what it says. So we wait on the Lord, we're of a good courage, and God will strengthen us. It's not about my strength, it's not about your strength, it's about God and his strength. You know, we all have the ability to be strong because we all are looking to God. And we're not looking to ourselves. You know, it's funny, I was watching a show last night with my wife, and it was actually, it was a minister, and something had happened to somebody, and he was talking to them. And he was saying, well, God allowed this thing to happen to you because he knew you were strong enough to handle it. That's not what the word says. We're all strong enough to handle whatever because we're all looking to the Lord. It's the Lord who's going to strengthen each and every one of us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. And long as we keep our focus on that, then we will always be strong enough because he will strengthen us. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 10. It says, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory. How? By Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It is God that is going to do these things. Now this is, we're looking to the future. All right, this is ultimately God is going to strengthen us. God is going to settle us ultimately when Christ Jesus returns, we will have all of these things, talking about his eternal glory. Right now, we're looking at a little glimpse of the future in terms of what God's going to do. All right, let's back up a little bit to chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Again, as you're reading, you keep seeing it's about him. It's really not about you. All we have to do is wait on him and be of a good courage. Seek him, trust in him, have faith in him. Then God works in our lives. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So why are we supposed to cast all of our cares upon him? You know, a lot of people, you talk to people and they're like, well, I don't know if God really wants me to go to him for this, and I don't know. You know, I'll save it for something really big, important. That's not what he says. He said, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. All right? That means everything. Everything. I mean, what parent here doesn't want your child to come to you for help in whatever? Oh, no, you know, that's, you handle that one on your own. I don't have time for that. No. You want them to come to you with everything, and then you will help them, right? So this is what it's talking about, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, there is a devil, and he's out there, and he's not happy with us, right? Because we all are looking towards God. Because we believe and know the truth. And he's not a part of any of that, right? So he's our enemy. He's our adversary. He's against us. Every single one of us, he's against us. He's actively looking to do something to trip you up. You know, what weakness can I get in there with whoever? What's going on? And we have to be aware of this. Again, here in verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant. You know, that's interesting. Be sober. Now, we're not talking about really physically, like alcohol, okay? But you can really understand it from that perspective. When you are, you know, intoxicated, let's use that word. When you are intoxicated, right? What's going on, really? You're not really focused. You're not sharp. You can't really think things through properly. You make bad decisions, bad judgments. Right? You're not steady. You know, if you really had a lot, right? You're not steady physically, right? You're back, you're forth, you're here, you're there, right? It says, be sober. Now, this sobriety that he's talking about is in your mind, in your heart. He's talking about mentally, spiritually. Be sober. So we know what it is. If you're intoxicated physically, it's the same thing mentally or spiritually. You're not sure. You're back and forth. You're wishy-washy. Okay? When you're sober, you're alert. You're thinking clearly, straight, right. You're not wishy-washy. You know what direction you're headed in. Okay? We have to be sober. And that word be is interesting because it's not just about the present. It's about the present and the future. Be as in this is what I am right now and continue to do that in the future. Like your journey. So be sober. Be and continue to be sober. Okay? Be vigilant. right? Vigilant. You know what it is to be vigilant? You're just on something, and that's where you are. Nothing's going to move you off of it, right? You're vigilant. That it's like you just focused. That's all you got on your mind. Tunnel vision. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant. Again, why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast, how? In the faith. It's not about you. In the faith. Okay? You're steadfast in the faith. That means, as Rich shared, that means doing what God says to do, not how you want to handle it. Okay? Seeking God, being in prayer, seeking his face, meditating on his word, okay? Knowing his promises and going after those things. Let God direct you. Not, you know, well, I'm going to do what I think I should do. Oh, I think the adversary is doing something. I'm going to start commanding the adversary. In faith. Okay, in faith. If it comes to that, then you'll know. But there's plenty of things for you to do in faith to resist. Again, resist. It's not your battle. You're in faith to resist. Verse 10. Well, let me finish this, actually. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same afflictions. So, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, if you're in Christ, you know the adversary is after you. Right? You're no different than the next guy. Let me tell you what. Oh, man, the adversary's really doing a number on me today. Let me tell you. He's doing a number on everybody. Seriously. That's what it just said. It said that these afflictions are the same afflictions accomplished by all your brethren in the world. The adversary is doing things to all of us. It may not be the same thing that's happening to me that's happening to you. Okay? But whatever he's doing in your life is what he's trying to do to bring you down, and whatever he's doing in my life, he's trying to do it to bring me down. It's the same end goal, to bring us down. How he goes about doing it is really, I know everybody gets caught up on how. It doesn't really matter how. The point is he's trying to bring you down. That's the thing that we need to stay focused on. Do you know what I mean when I say that? You look at your brother and you say, that thing, he's tripping over that? What's he tripping over that for? Man, if that was, I'd be good. Okay, right. That's why the adversary's not doing that to you. He's got something else for you. So don't go by that. That's not what the point is. The adversary is after each and every one of us. How it manifests itself, it's different. You know, it'll be different with you in different times of your life. Okay? But we're going to resist in the faith. That's what we're all going to do. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Because we know that God is the one that is going to be with us. Let me just read 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It's talking about our life, our journey right now in this world. That's the thing that he's talking about. That is what we're going through. But we have the eternal glory to look forward to. And then he's going to work with us. Ultimately, we have a new body. But before that, God is going to help us. He's going to strengthen us. So now I want to look at exactly, well, how does he do that presently, right now? How does God strengthen us? How does God help us? Let's go to the Gospel of John 14. And we're going to start in verse 16. Now I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. I may go back and forth, but I'm going to start here in the Amplified Version. Verse 16. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's letting them know about the Holy Spirit and what God is about to do. At that time, it was not available for everybody, but now it is, right? We all have the Holy Spirit. It's available for each and every one of us. So he says in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. Okay, this is some of the attributes to describe how the Holy Spirit works. To be with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because the Holy Spirit remains with you continually and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Comfortless, it has in brackets, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will not leave you that way. I will come back to you. All right, so we have the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has the Holy Spirit. From that time that we believe in God and accept that he has sent his Son, right, to be our Savior, to take upon our sins, and to bridge that gap between us and God, then we have the Holy Spirit, each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if you're 5, if you're 10, if you're 20, whenever you come to the Lord, right? And it doesn't matter how old you are in terms of how the Holy Spirit is going to work in your life, because it's God working through the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with what you're doing, right? When I looked up strengthen, like what it is to strengthen, it's very interesting. It's not what I really thought it was. It is to be strong, alert, courageous, brave, stout, bold, solid, hard, firm, unwavering. It's interesting, right? Alert. Right? Be sober. Alert. Be aware. Know what's going on spiritually. Right? Don't be ignorant. Right? So then we have to know the Word. As we're reading the Word, God informs us. God gives us the understanding. Right? So it says, be alert, courageous, brave. That's interesting, those two words, courageous and brave. Right? Courageous and brave, it's similar, but the thing about it is, it's not, if someone's courageous, it's not because there's a lack of fear. That doesn't mean I'm not afraid. Okay? It means that even though I am afraid, I persevere and I do the thing that I need to do. Whatever that thing is at the time. That's what makes me courageous. That's what makes someone brave. It's not that, well, I don't fear anything. You know, then, you know, you're something else. Courageous and brave, though, you do it in spite of your fear. And when God's talking about fear in the scriptures, he's not talking about, I know a lot of people think this, something happens and you get an emotional response, right? I feel afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. That's not what God's talking about. What God's talking about is the kind of fear, we call it phobias, where it's so deep that it paralyzes you and you don't do anything. You just don't do anything. You fail to act. When God's talking about fear and being afraid, that's what he's talking about in terms of not doing what he wants you to do. I'm so afraid of whatever's going on, whether it's the circumstances or what I believe, what's going on in my mind, that I allow that to dictate my actions, which is I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just too afraid. I'm too afraid to believe God's word. I'm too afraid to follow through with what he says. So I don't do anything. You know, in Revelations, I think it's chapter 21, and it talks about some of the different things, the people who won't inherit the kingdom. You know what one of the first things it says? I always found this to be odd. The fearful. It says the fearful. Doesn't say the sorcerer. Doesn't say the fornicator. Says the fearful and the unbelieving. Do you know why? Because if you have that kind of fear, you don't obey him. You don't follow him. You don't seek him. You just don't do anything. You don't do anything. Right? The Lord comes back. What'd you do? Oh, I hid it in the dirt. You don't do anything. Because I was afraid. That's what he said to him. Right? So, when we getting back to this, so now we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does all of these things. It will give us courage. It will help us to be brave. It will help us to be, it says hard. And that word hard, it's an interesting word, but it really just means firm. Like, I'm not movable. I'm not going to move. I know where I'm going. That's where I'm staying. I'm staying the course. Nothing's going to distract me. Okay? Each one of us have this because we have the Holy Spirit. It's not about you, me. It's about God. Right? And God can work through the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. It doesn't matter who we are, how long we've been in the Word. What does matter is if you're waiting and if you're of a good courage. And he will strengthen you. Let's keep reading here. Let's go to verse 25. We're in John 14, verse 25. I have told you these things while I am still with you. But the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. That's what each of us have. Rich started to talk about that a little bit. Each one of us have that. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Right? Each one of us have it. And God can work all of those things in each and every one of us. He will teach you all things, and he will help you to remember everything that I have told you. How do you remember something unless you've already meditated upon it and studied it, read it, seeked it? You have to put it in so that God has something to work with in terms of bringing back to your memory, okay? Peace, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor, here it is, let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled or be afraid. Again, the fear that he's talking about, it's not the emotional response that you you get when something happens. It's a lot deeper than that. I mean, that can move to the other thing if you allow it, right? So you don't want to be where you're paralyzed and you don't act on God's word. So don't be troubled, nor let you be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strengthen you for every challenge. That's interesting. The Holy Spirit's there to give us courage and to strengthen us in everything, no matter what it is. Okay? Part of what we have in Galatians 5, it talks about, right? The fruits of the Spirit, right? This is, how does he strengthen you? Okay, this is part of how he does it too. And I'm reading this out of the Amplified right now. But the fruit of the Spirit, and it says the result of his presence within us, talking about the Holy Spirit, right, is love, joy, peace, patience, says long-suffering, right? And here, what I like is it says, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. That's what he was describing. How we act while waiting. Are we in prayer? Are we seeking God? Are we meditating on his word? Or are we freaking out? This thing is going on, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know the Lord is going to help me, but I don't know. That's why I like the way this is worded. It says, again, it says, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. That's the process of waiting on the Lord. What are you doing? Again, are you in prayer? Are you meditating on God's word? You know, are you seeking him? What are you doing? It's how you're acting while you're waiting. Are you doing those things? Those are the things that Rich was talking about, that God's word says we're supposed to do. Okay? So I like that. That patience or long-suffering that we have, that's through the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Again, it's not about you, it's not about me, right? It's about what God has given us that we have access to because we have the Holy Spirit with us. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So you have the fruits of the Spirit. These are some of the things also that God uses to strengthen us, depending upon our situation, what we have to do, you know? You ever, you're going through something and you're seeking God and you're meditating on his word and you have joy. There's a peace with God, not your circumstances, okay? And people, you know, they may know a little bit about what's going on in your life. And they're like drawn to you because there's like a calm about you. It's not that stuff isn't, you know, bad, right? But you have this confidence because you have this joy. Because God, this is how God is strengthening you, right? While you're meditating on God's word and you're focused on that and you're in prayer, right? Even maybe singing praises to him. All of these things, it helps to strengthen you. It helps you to be firm. It helps you to not be back and forth. And, you know, you can be firm and you don't have to be movable. Let's go to Psalm 27. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, there's so much to what God has done for us and what we have available in God. And sometimes we get so focused on one part of something that God says in His Word, right? So you have the Holy Spirit. So you have what? You have the manifestations. You have all of that, right? That's also how God strengthens us through the Holy Spirit. But sometimes, you know, you have people that's all they're focused on. They're focused on that part of it. They're not also looking at some of the stuff I shared with you. It's not either or, it's both. That's my point, it's both. You have to take it all, and that's what God has given you, okay? And He works in all of those ways to strengthen us. It depends on what's going on. It depends on what you need, right? I mean, think about this. How comforting is it to know that you can pray, you know, in privately, that you can pray in tongues, knowing that the Holy Spirit is saying just what you need perfectly. Like, I don't even know what I need. I know what I think I need. I know what I think I want. Do you know what I mean? But I really don't. But the Holy Spirit, it communicates with God. When you have that type of prayer, you can do that. And you know that when you do that prayer, you know that it's exactly what it's supposed to be. When I pray with my understanding, I'm praying with my understanding. It's okay, but it's not that, right? So you have that also to help strengthen you, you know, to comfort you, let's say. Like, I know I can go and I can have this prayer, and I know that God knows what I need. I know that whatever was communicated was the right thing. Exactly. Right? Let's look here at Psalm 27. And I want to start in verse 1 because I want to kind of look at the progression. How did we get to verse 14? Like, what was David saying before we got to verse 14? It says, verse 1, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is what? The strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It says, Yahweh is my light. He is my light. You know, this word light, it's talking about understanding. Right, to have an understanding. He is my light. I get my understanding from God. I get my truth from God. Right? That's where I get it from. He is my light. It says, Yahweh is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Again, if you know that God is the one that's strengthening you, what is it? I'm going to be afraid, maybe, you know, something first happens, I'm afraid, my mind goes back and forth, whatever. But ultimately, what do I have to be afraid about? Is something stronger than God? Nothing's stronger than God. Nothing's wiser than God. So ultimately, what do I have to be afraid of if I'm going to God? Nothing. I mean, if you think about it that way, really nothing, right? Doesn't mean that what's going on isn't anything, but, you know, I have God. Verse 2, when the wicked, my enemies, and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not, what, fear? Though war should rise against me, in this will I be, what, confident. Okay, so he's talking about, this is things that go on in life, right? You got situations that are against you, people that are against you, for whatever the reason, You know, somebody takes a look at you and they decide, I don't like you. And then that's it. They got it in for you, right? And they're after you. I don't have to worry about them. David had all of these people against him, right? Ultimately, they stumbled. Whatever they tried to do, it never went through. It always fell short, right? Even when it comes to war, it says, I will be confident. You know, that's how we have to start thinking. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on, has been going on for the last some years, right? This war, that war, this breakout, that breakout, this is going on. I got God. I got to keep my mind there. Because if I don't do that and I listen to the people, you know what I mean? The worldly people talking about what's going on, then I'm going to get caught up in that. Because it's not like it's not a real thing. But I'm going to get caught up in that because I'm going to forget who I'm supposed to be looking at, who I'm supposed to be waiting on, right? Not Channel 4, right? Verse 4, one thing I have desired of Yahweh that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. That's like telling you about somebody's heart. That's where his heart is. That's where our heart needs to be. It needs to be, I have desired you. I seek after you. I want to dwell in the house of Yahweh. Like, that has to be our mindset. When you have that mindset, you can stay locked in, right? But that's what you have to be thinking. That's what he was thinking. Even though the crazy stuff was going on in his life, right? He's got all of these armies after him, right? Some of the armies that he was the one that he was leading them. Now, they're against, think about this. I'm leading all of these. Now they're against me. And they're trying to kill me under the king's commandment. Right? That's a crazy thought. So, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And he shall set me up upon a rock. How many times does it say he there? Talking about God. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I mean, if you know, you can read through it really quick and not really kind of focus on the he, and it's all about God. That's the point. It's about God. It's not about you. It's not about me. What we have to do is, like Rich said, wait on the Lord, which he described some of the things we have to do, and be of good courage, and then he will strengthen us. And that's part of how he's going to do it. Right here, what we're reading. That I know that he's going to, you know, have me in his, hide me in his secret, like I know that. Verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy and will sing, yea, I will sing praises on to Yahweh. Hear, O Yahweh, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When God is always calling us, he's always telling us, what we just read something in 1 Peter, right? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's, he's telling you to do it, right? That's another way you could say, seek me. Right. When he said that, what was my response? He says here, when he said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You know, that's where my heart is. Like God saying, seek me, seek me, seek me. And I'm like, I want to seek you. Verse 9, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And he's not just talking about the end. He's talking about now until the end. Salvation as in help, deliverance. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then Yahweh will take me up. Again, these are like all of the different things you experience, and not all, but these are some of the different things you experience during your life that he's talking about that's happened, but God has delivered him, God strengthened him, God was with him, right? You'll have a situation where even maybe your mother or your father might forsake you. We're only human, right? We make mistakes. We give in to weaknesses, even when we're believers. We do things that are stupid at times, right? I mean, it's true. So, conceivably, even your mother and your father, they could forsake you. It could happen, but not God. That's the point. Says, when my mother and my father forsake me, then Yahweh will take me up. Again, what's the focus? The focus is on God, ultimately. It doesn't mean that, you know, somebody does something and it's not disappointing to you. Yeah, it was disappointing, it hurt me, whatever. Okay, I get over it. Ultimately, I know God is never going to do that to me. He's always there for me. He's never going to do that. And that's the point. We have to look through and beyond that to God, ultimately. Because if we don't, then we'll get caught up in this stuff. You know what I'm talking about? We're going to get caught up in this stuff. You know? And he's letting you know that it could even come from your mother or your father. That's a deep thought because nobody really thinks that way. You know, the two people you figure in your corner for life is your mother and father. But maybe not. Okay? Verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Yahweh, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witness are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. You know, people lie, they tell lies, they start lies, accusations, whatever. I had fainted unless I had, what? Believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, meaning right now in my life. I would faint if I didn't really believe that if I was waiting on God, that he was actually going to strengthen me. Then what hope do I have, really? I'm left to my own devices, right? Back to where I started. Self-reliance, self-determination. It's all about me. I have to make it happen, right? No. But again, if I don't believe that God is actually going to help me, then what do I have? You know, there are people that they'll tell you, I believe in God. Okay, let's pray about your situation. Let's pray about what's going on. You know, here's a couple of, you know, verses that maybe, you know, deals with your situation, right? I don't know. You think he's really going to do that? They don't really believe to see God in the land of the living, like that he's going to do something. They're going to faint, right? I'm going to read that again. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Again, to be, it is where I am now and where I continue, what I continue to do. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's what I wanted to share with you.